Give us insight. God, we need to hear from you. We look forward to hearing from you, God. Speak loud and clear to our hearts. May we apply it. We could go anywhere for information, God. We want revelation, which leads to transformation. A renewed mind and a transformed life is what we desire tonight in Christ, God, and we thank you for it. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
You type those, don't you type on the chat sometimes?
All right, family, if you would, last week we read verses 1. Where did we stop? 1 through 13. So, and we had some takeaways. So just for a quick review, if some of you wouldn't mind sharing your takeaways. And if you're not speaking, I'm going to ask that you mute yourself just to eliminate the background noise if you're not speaking. And then just unmute yourself whenever you desire to speak. It's not a problem. Please do so. But just mute yourself so we eliminate the background noise. But if some would like to share some takeaways from last week before we go ahead and jump into this week. Any takeaways from last, nothing from last week. Nobody took anything away from last week. Okay.
Pastor Carter?
Yes.
Oh.
Go ahead. Who is
Sister Hayes? Oh, you can go, Sister Hayes.
Pastor Carter, good evening, Abundant Life.
Yes.
I share with my sorrow, Cynthia, that I was in angst over the response that Bathsheba didn't have a choice.
Okay.
So I got off the phone and I was really in turmoil about it. Because I didn't look at it from the time or period that it was occurring.
Thank you.
But I looked at it from the time or period of where we are today. And I saw it as women are always subject to a man's will. And it has carried over from time begin. We were subject to the king.
Correct.
And then we get married, and we get married in the word, and it says, obey your husband, okay? And then it leads into, in some cases, where there's domestic violence because the man is obey. And then there's the weak woman who can't stand or hasn't been taught to stand or doesn't know the Lord to know how to stand for herself. Mm-hmm. And so I just carried it into where we are today.
Right.
But I got over it. Got over it. But I want you all to know I was really, really torn about that, because I can see it in today's world.
Right. You see how, I mean, that's under,
and
we're
so
under
that,
the...
I wanted to share that.
Yeah, and you're absolutely right, Sister Joanna. We're under the curse of sin, so that's one of the, you know, consequences of it. But back then, the culture, the people, she really, unfortunately... she didn't have a choice. And if you want to look at another example, you can look at Queen Vashti when the king asked her, he wanted to kind of show her off and she refused. She had a choice. She refused. But then you don't hear anything else about Queen Vashti after she was banished from the queenship. You don't hear anything else about her. And she was just gone. But then you do have strong women. You have the Queen of Sheba that came to visit Solomon. And, you know, and I mean, so it is, you know, women aren't doormats, but in that particular case, unfortunately, the king said come, and she had to.
I feel like she did have a choice, because nowhere in the law says she had to. It would have looked so bad on David if she refused and he did anything to her. You know what I mean? And with Queen Vashti, she was married to an evil drunkard. And she was the queen, and that was a whole different issue. She wasn't somebody else's wife. But I believe she, Bathsheba did have a choice. But all the onus is on the king, because he was the one with the authority.
Well, she had a choice, but the thing was, if she'd have took that choice, she'd have died.
I don't think so. Amen. I don't think so because of the backlash that David would have got for taking somebody else's life. Because if you would have committed adultery, you would have died. You know what I mean? The law of adultery was if you committed adultery, you were to be put to death. And that's what David was doing. So he couldn't bring that to the light. Say, I tried to have sex with somebody else's wife and she refused, so I got to kill her. Like, that would never fly.
But it was the, yeah. You know, I mean, what I'm saying by that, she had a choice, but she didn't choose because she got killed. But just the, like we were talking about, it's just the air of time. That, you know what I mean, if the king summons you and, you know what I mean, you either you win or you it was consequences. You see what I'm saying? So she was acting on that part. Or she knew that she had to go because he called for it, you know. Mm-hmm. But if she didn't go,
you could say she had a choice, but.
Yeah. You know what I mean? She could have,
the card
would have been the wrong one.
talk to me, Sister Kathy.
I have a takeaway from last week.
Absolutely.
For myself is be careful of my choices.
Yes.
That was my takeaway from last week.
Okay.
That I have to be careful of my choices, the choices that I make.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
Because there's more than one consequence. There's a chain reaction.
Yes. And we're going to find that out. Sister Vonnie, go ahead.
Yeah. Thank you, Sister Kathy. Can I share just like a summary of what we have gone over last week, Pastor Carter?
Absolutely. Thank you.
Okay. Hi, everyone.
Hi,
so in verse 1, we know it is springtime and David did not go off to war. In those times, like other kings, they had to go off to war because it says on verse 1, when kings go off to war. So he decides to send Joab instead and his men. And then in verse 2, sin is presented. So David sees a very beautiful woman bathing. This is where sin is presented to him. In verse 3, David steps into forbidden territory when David sends someone to find out about her. So right there, he steps into forbidden territory. In verse 3, I'm amazed to see that God immediately, like same verse, it says, like, David is given a way of escape. He finds out that she's a married woman. She's married to Uriah. And David has to make a choice. So in verse 4, David makes his choice very clear. He sent for her and slept with her. So this is the four things I was able to get out of the verses that we went through so far. We haven't read the other one, so I cannot continue.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Yeah, and actually last week we stopped at verse, if I'm not mistaken, we stopped at verse 13?
Yes.
13.
Yeah, we went all the way to 13, Sister Vonnie. Yep, we did.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
So, but thank you. That's a pretty... pretty thorough summary. And I think one of the things you said that was my takeaway, that the domino effect of sin, and I peeked ahead to chapter 12 and 13. Man, if he just would have had an idea of what he was starting, he really would have. And that's just a takeaway. We have no idea how far the enemy wants to take this thing. And we're just looking at the snapshot of the moment. And the enemy is like, like, go ahead, nobody will find out, right? And then, because he knows that the domino effect is going to be so severe that, you know, we'll barely recover from it, if we ever recover from it. So, Art, are we ready to...
Also,
go ahead.
Also, Pastor Carter, she was, he married her, but her life wasn't a life of joy.
Come on now.
You know, because when you read through the Old Testament about Bathsheba, she was only mentioned a few times, and it wasn't nothing spectacular.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I know it. And that's the unfortunate power of sin, that it ruined so many lives. Her life, I mean, she was married to Uriah, and when Nathan breaks it down in chapter 12, the way he describes it, it's like David gets all upset, but it's like, dude, that's what you just did, you know?
Right.
So, right. But you don't see that when you're in the midst of it. So God help us all, Sister Kathy, to understand that whether it's a little thing or a big thing, it has consequences.
The trippy part is that that's the line Jesus came through. Out of all the wives he had, that's the line Jesus came through.
Yeah.
Bathsheba.
And that's the power.
Well, you're gonna see after that because of David, he was a man after God's own heart because he confessed.
Yes. To
God, and God granted him favor.
Yeah, and he took half the kingdom away too in the midst of that, and it was a lot of stuff that went on as a result of that. But that just shows the grace and the mercy of God that, you know, even for us, while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us in the midst of the horrible sins we've committed. The mercy and the grace of God is right there. Goodness and mercy shall still follow us all the days of our life.
Amen.
And that's not a license to sin, because you still got to deal with those consequences. But it's not a death sentence either for those that are in Christ, because that's why Christ died for our sins. But you got to deal with some consequences, and everybody on the line can say amen, because we've dealt with them one way or another. You know, that's why we need a savior, because we can't do it alone, and we can't fix ourselves. Okay.
Pastor, I have one.
Yes,
it's
yes.
Hazel.
Hey, Sister Hazel.
Hi. When I reviewed the part that we covered, I had to look at how it all started. Mm-hmm. And then I went back to James 1.
Come on now.
13, and it said, "For God cannot be tempted by evil, nor does he tempt anyone, but each person is tempted when they are dragged away by their own evil desires and enticed." Mm-hmm. And that's what happened in this situation. Then after the desire has conceived, it gives birth to sin. And sin, when it is full grown, gives birth to death.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
So I thought about the part we covered. We're at that point. And so I looked at the situation from my own perspective, that regardless of what the partner may want or don't want, if I'm going to be enticed, or when I'm tempted, I want to fulfill my lust. And that, you don't think straight at that moment.
Right.
Amen. You're not thinking logical. It's not straight. You're not even thinking about the consequences.
Amen.
It's just fulfill me, fulfill me, fulfill me. Mm-hmm. That's all I want. And that's what I saw, how God has described it here with him.
Yeah. That's an excellent point, Sister Hazel, and I've heard it preached. I think I was listening on the radio one time, and Bishop Omer was on there, and he was talking about, he just put it in layman's terms, sin makes you stupid. You know, you up, you know, driving around 1 o'clock in the morning in the rain on a flat tire trying to get somewhere because you drawing away in your own lust. You know, it just makes you stupid, man. What are you doing? What were you doing out at 1 a.m. in the rain? Like driving? I don't know. I was exactly. But it does. And we'll see, even as we get ready to read now, the effort that it takes. So I can't say that it just happened, because it took effort for David to find out who she was, to send for her, to inquire about her. And now he's went and tried to get the husband drunk. If we put forth the effort to be obedient, that we put forth trying to get into something we have no business getting into, we'd be a lot better off.
Yeah, sin make you work.
It does. It, boy, I tell you. And then you got to keep working to try and cover it up and to try and, oh, man, it's a lot of work. And that's why I guess that's why the wages of sin is death. Because you're working yourself into death. Go ahead, Sister Joanne. Sister Joanne, are you there? Were you going to say something?
No, I was just amen.
Okay. Okay, amen.
We have to work to cover that sin or repent from the sin and then pray that we don't do the same sin because sometimes we do repeat the sin. It's like a cyclical thing, just going around in a circle until someone dies or there's a consequence, then you get stopped.
Amen. And that's why the sooner we repent and run back to God, the better. The enemy wants to, what we used to say, the enemy wants to isolate and then alienate and then eliminate you, right? He wants you to run so far out in the middle of the ocean because everybody, because of what you've done. So think about it. You don't want to go to church. You don't want to call nobody that's godly. So the enemy wants to isolate and then alienate and then eliminate.
And Pastor, you know, that's exactly what David did with Uriah.
Yes, yes.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So with me, it's like, you know, we all know what our home is like, right?
Right.
I've been sent out to war.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. And my wife was left behind.
Mm-hmm.
You know, Uriah, you know, I think he was just faithful and loyal to a fault. He must have been a godly man. Mm-hmm. I know he was a great leader and a great warrior, but he was kind of Gomer Pyle-ish also. Mm-hmm. Coming back, you know, he should know that his wife is left behind there, right? And there's a possibility that something can go down. To come back home and be off for a drink and somewhere to sleep and not go home and do it, I mean, I don't know, man. I just, you know, he should have had his guard up. Regardless of David being a king and all that, you know, you got to come back and check that dude, man. You know, that's just, he's not as innocent as to me, it was just ignorant on his part.
And right? And you said it, he's loyal to a fault. This is the king. This is his guy. He's in just a minute, we're going to see how David, gives him his own death certificate. He didn't even read the note that he was sent, taken back to Joab, because it's like, well, this is from the king. It's none of my business. And maybe he is loyal to a fault, but right, he's committed. Right. But, and then on the other side of that coin is, how could David do that to a man who was so committed to him, you know? And that's just the whole, for lack of a better word, that's the whole scandalous part of it. Come on, Dave, we got to be better than that. And because you see Uriah comes back and Big C, and I see it differently. I just see that, hey man, the king, I'm coming back, I'm fighting for the king. I don't even think twice about it. The king knows that's my wife. Why would he even think about that? This is the king. We've been on the battle. We've been, Big C, me and you, we've been on the battlefield back to back on many occasions. Man, I wouldn't even think about anything like that. This is my guy, you know? So he was completely blindsided. And shame on David for, you know, for treating his loyal soldier like that. All right, so let's go ahead, Tommy.
That's what sin does to you.
That's what sin does to you, yeah. Makes you stupid.
Real quick, Pastor, it was almost like a flip-flop when you compare David and Saul's relationship.
Right, correct.
You know?
Mm-hmm. And look what David, and look how David treated this guy, you know, and he was so loyal to him. That's cool. Right. That's a great comparison, man. So it just doesn't matter. I think, see, the Sister Yvonne said, or Sister Hazel, you let that sin, you let the sin opportunity take you somewhere you don't want to go. And it don't even matter who it is. I'm just going to do it. You lose all sight of that, where I did to this guy what Saul wanted to do to me. And he was just trying to be loyal to you.
And you know, it seems like, you know, I can really feel David's heart and his sincerity. And David really got caught up. And, you know, and that's what happened to us sometimes when we're in sin, you know. We don't know that, you know, hypothetically, you know, we're drinking and we have one social drink and then it turns into two or three. And
he wasn't drinking. He got up out of bed.
Let me make my point. So you know, say for instance, you turn around and you, I don't know what, have an accident and you kill someone. That then led to death. You know,
correct.
If not yourself. And so David, I don't know if David saw the end story to this, because David, sins were like gradual. They were piece by piece, you know, and it just kind of got out of hand. And then he was in a situation where he's dealing with Uriah, and this is a man of integrity. And for David to I don't know, I guess to commit adultery with his wife, that was just, I think David knew after, you know, before he went through the full act, you know. I mean, it was just kind of, I don't know, just disappointing, you know. But I still love David, though.
Yeah. Hey, it's very disappointing, and he didn't see the final act. He just saw her bathing. That's what he saw.
And you know, if David hadn't have committed the sin that he did, his life wouldn't be such a reflection that us today, you know, can pull from, because, you know, we're guilty of sins, you know, of course, mm-hmm. you know, I am, and, you know, others, but it's what I'm going to learn from this is that be careful. Don't pursue the temptation.
Right.
Okay. Yeah.
Brother Patterson.
I kind of want to say something. I feel like also, Pastor, that we all have a sinful nature in us. We all, everybody could walk around like we all perfect, we all godly. We all have a sinful desire in us, and the enemy knows what that desire is. Mm-hmm. And to me, I feel like that's how he presented in front of David. He knew, like, David, like, I can't get this man to do anything else, but I know where he's weak at.
Mm-hmm. There you go.
Let me put this beautiful thing in front of him and let me see how powerful his holiness is. Wow. And obviously, David fold. And it shows that we all have a sinful desire. It's what we put into it.
Right, right.
Because David could have easily just look away, but that desire that he had in him would not allow him to look away.
Right.
You know, it enticed him to go further. You know, now you see her, now you want to know who she is. Now you want to know what she's doing. And all that is just, it's just that one sin thing, he's just adding on. He's just adding on.
Right. And then I would say this, Brother Stanley, and we got to know our triggers, because we all know what our weaknesses are. One thing you don't have a problem with, but the next man or the next woman is like, man, if that, you know, somebody, they could put the alcohol on the table and drugs, you'd walk away from it. But they put something else on there, and you grabbing it, and you putting the money in your pocket, and so we have to know our triggers. And David had to know that ain't no sense in me staying behind when all the men are going off, and ain't nobody left but the wives and the servants. That's a bad mix for me. And we got to know some places we don't ever need to step foot in, because we know if something happens, I'm going to participate. Brother Patterson, I saw your hand too. Go ahead.
You made a comment about the devil wants to isolate us, and what's the second one term?
Alienate and then eliminate.
Okay.
So that's awesome. Yeah, Brother Patterson. So you never want to say, I'm not going to church, I'm not going to call any Christian, but I don't want to see them. That's what you don't want to do.
Okay.
Because then you by yourself, and here's the enemy going to present something, because he already knows what you got, a blueprint of all of us. So he's been studying us a lot longer than we've been studying him. And he's going to present that thing. And because you isolated, alienated, he's trying to eliminate you. Just like David. He caught David alone. If David was with his men, that wouldn't have went down like that.
He would have never caught him.
You stated that just now when you were sharing. You also said that
had he gone, he would have been with the with this man. But by staying there, he had women and servants. Yep. And each one of the servants I keep looking at, they were now. Obedient.
Yeah.
They were obedient. Each one of them, from the first one he told to go, who was it? They all did their job. Because, again, right. we talk about decisions. These were servants, so they yeah. knew they had to do what he told them to do. And it was so many people involved in that. I mean, we're looking at the yeah. scripture from, I mean, one person to the next, but they were doing what they were supposed to do at that time.
And then, look, we could go back to the choice. Okay, what the servant going to say? They know David's reputation. Remember, they were yeah. saying Saul killed 1,000. David killed 10,000. I'm messing with this dude. If he said, whatever he say, do, I'm going to do. David killed a lion and a bear. They knew that. They knew that he killed Goliath. They knew that he was a mighty man of God. They knew he was a warrior. Man, if he tell me to do something, I ain't messing with this dude. Yeah. You don't have much of a, it's King David. Some people would probably, they probably deified him back then too. He was pointing them to God, but you know, they, just like we do today, they had to deify David. And what he says goes. That's human nature.
Right.
Yeah. So it was tough. Here's the takeaway that it shows us. We got to be careful. I don't care what title you have, how strong you think you are. If it could happen to King David like that, as Brother Stanley said, the enemy knows his triggers. Mm-hmm. And he could have sent 1,000 Philistines. David would have killed them all. Right.
Okay.
But he sent, you could have 10,000 Philistines. David would have killed them all. But he sent a beautiful woman and David fell. Why? Because that's, you got to know your triggers and your weaknesses, and you can't let things trigger you. We got to fight against that daily, one day at a time. All right. Let's hit, what are we? Verse 14. Wow. All right, here we go. And it came to pass in the morning that David wrote a letter to Joab and sent it by the hand of Uriah. And he wrote in the letter saying, set Uriah in the forefront of the most fierce battle and retrieve you from him, that he may be killed, that he may be hit, afflicted, struck down and die. Verse 16, and it came to pass when Joab observed the city that he assigned Uriah unto a place where he knew that the most valiant and mighty men were. The men of the city went out, fought with Joab, and there fell some of the people of the servants of David, and Uriah the Hittite died also. Then Joab sent and told David all the things concerning the war and charged a messenger, saying, when you have made an end of telling the matters of the war unto the king, and if so, be that the king's wrath arise, and he say unto you, why did you approach? Why did you get so close unto the city? And why did you fight like that? Know you not that they, didn't you know they would shoot you from off the wall? Verse 21. They smote Abimelech, the son of Jerubbaal. Did not a woman just throw a piece of a stone upon him from the wall and he died? In Thebes? Why did you go so close to the wall? Then say thou, the servant Uriah, the Hittite is dead. So the messenger went and came and showed David all that Joab had sent. The messenger said unto David, surely the men prevailed against us and came out unto us into the field, and we were upon them even unto the entering of the gate, and the shooters shot from off the wall upon thy servants, and some of the king's servants be dead, and the servant Uriah the Hittite is dead also. Then David said unto the messenger, thus shalt thou say unto Joab, let not this thing disturb you. For the sword devoured one as well as another. Make your battle more strong against the city and overthrow it and encourage him. Verse 26, and when the wife of Uriah heard that Uriah, her husband, was dead, she mourned for her husband. And when the morning was past, David sent and called her to his house, and she became his wife and bare him a son. But the thing that David had done displeased the Lord.
Amen.
I know we probably gonna have to finish this next week, but I'm telling you, that whole thing is packed with nuggets. Oh, God help us.
Pastor Carter.
Talk to me, Sister Bonnie.
So we know that in the past chapters, we were studying about David. So he had a lot of women in the past, correct?
Correct.
So we know that that was a sin because kings were told to have only one wife. So he already had this thing going on with women. So what I wrote for number 14, I had an observation. David grows a spiritual callus.
Yes.
I wrote, the definition of a callus, they are a product of frequent exposure to friction and pressure and often appear as a thick, not so cute, discolored patch of skin on your hands or feet. Calluses serve as a defense mechanism for our skin. They grow and develop, they grow and development helps numb the pain, allowing you to enjoy your activities without worry about more blisters and soreness. So with this being clearly defined, the spiritual callus that David grows will cause him to be numb to the pain of sin. At the precise moment of his plan, he will feel no guilt or shame. We know he is letting all his information out there in the open. As he stands for Bathsheba, and as he tries to cover up his mistake by, I'm reading my notes, sorry, by bringing Uriah back. So in verse 14, Pastor, we read that David wrote a letter to Joab and sent it with Uriah. In it, he wrote, put Uriah out in front where the fighting is fiercest, then withdraw from him so he will be struck down and die. Wow. I highlighted verse 14 because in it we can see how callous King David had become spiritually.
Yes.
Exactly.
He does not only send a letter to Joab, but he sends it with Uriah, the very man he wants to have killed.
Exactly.
The man who is giving his life voluntarily for the people and his king. My note for you guys, I wrote all these notes, and specifically from this is, no matter how much good you do for another person, even to the point of putting your family and your life on the line for them, if they are indulgent in sin, they may be spiritually callous and can bring much harm to you or your loved ones. Sometimes you just need to stay away and pray for them and let God do his work on their life.
Preach that, Sister Bonnie. Amen.
That's what I got.
on that, we're going to pray and close out on that. Amen. Because we could pray and close out on. I mean, that is so powerful. And you sometimes you want to hang out with people and you know they're into sin, but oh, that's going to be okay. But that callus is growing harder and harder on their heart. And if they can, and if they could do something to you to advance them or something like that, they'll do it. God help us. I was just kidding about praying out on that part, but that was good, Sister Vi. That was
Seems like David had a lot of wives, but he had no relationship with them, no real relationship. Where he had all these wives, where he's sleeping by himself. he gets somebody else's wife and tries to play her for a whore. His intention wasn't to marry her at first; it was just to send her home. And then, you know, later he has no relationship with his kids. So it almost seems like Jonathan was the only person he had a real relationship with.
Mm-hmm. That's interesting.
Never hear about any of the wives, except for something that they did negative. You know.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
that was one of the reasons for Uriah keeping his guard up.
Yeah, but that's pretty callous though, Big C. That you know that Uriah is so loyal to you, he's not going to even read loyal to you that he's not going to even read the note.
You won for him.
Yeah, and then verse 25 bothered me a little bit when he sent back to Joab. Don't feel bad about it.
Now, that word displeased in the Hebrew means disturbed. And I just made a note that sin is disturbing to Sister Bonnie's point. Somebody's just into sin and don't, that has to disturb you. Sin is very disturbing. And how can you tell him, hey, man, don't be disturbed by this? I believe David lost a lot of respect with the men who knew what was going on, and especially with Joab. But I have to be disturbed by this, David, because I could be next. If you would treat him like that.
And remember, David was hammering Joab for the for killing what's the guy's name?
Abner.
Yeah, Abner.
Abner, killing Abner. So he kind of threw him under the bus for that. And now this is happening.
Yeah, and that's how that sin, that the callousness of sin. I love that.
And it also shows, also, Pastor, when we act alone.
Yeah.
David is basically trying to fix his own problem.
Right, come on now.
Because he was like, this is so bad, God, I got this. You know? And we have to understand in life that even if the problem is big or small, we have to inquire God. Because if we go on it by ourselves, we're going to end up in doing more sin. And that's exactly what happened to David right there. Because he thought like, you know what? This is a little problem for me, God. I'll handle this.
I'll handle this, yeah.
Also, he thought, you know? Mm-hmm. And it comes down to he wasn't helping anything. Because he ended up getting somebody killed.
Right. Yeah. And eventually it's going to be two people. The God told him, you know, hey, that kid, it ain't gonna make it either.
That too.
Yeah, the domino effect.
Yeah, that's what happened when we do acquire God into our problems.
And, and Brother Sandler, we gotta understand from the smallest thing to the greatest thing, I gotta ask God how to speak to my wife, how to speak to my kids, how to speak to my students. Even to the point, what am I wearing today? God, show me, what do I wear today? Everything, I'm like, Lord, you know, what do I wear? And then you wear a shirt and somebody says, oh, hey, I went there too. What? Yeah, hey, well, let me tell you about Jesus Christ. If I don't wear that shirt, we don't have this conversation. Right? I mean, every little thing I'm asking, God, what do I wear today? What do I put on? Because everything's on purpose. I try my best not to live on accident. Amen?
Yeah.
Amen. Pastor Carter.
Sister Kathy, talk to me.
When David sent Uriah out to the front lines, he not only sent him out, he sent others out that died with him.
Yeah.
So Uriah, by him killing Uriah, other people died too.
Ooh, it gets deep, doesn't it, Kathy?
Mm-hmm.
And see, with that one little look, it started with that one look. No, it didn't. It started because he was out of position.
Yep,
right. He wasn't where he was supposed to be.
He wasn't where he was supposed to be.
And it cost a bunch of lives. When we're out somewhere, we're not supposed to be thinking, I'm just doing me. I ain't bothering nobody. But you don't understand. You're going to involve us all. And sometimes our kids don't understand that. Well, I'm just going, I ain't bothering nobody. No, you don't. Because then I got to get involved. And other people going to get involved. And it's going to be a big problem. They don't see the bigger picture. But look at David. And I wrote this down too, just on based on verses. I think it's verses 20, where he's saying, "Why did you get so close? Why are we getting so close to the enemy? Right?
Okay.
Why are you
trying to justify it?
Trying to." And it says, "It this is." Let me see. I wrote it down because I didn't want to. Okay, it says, "Why are you getting so close to the enemy?" Oh, come on. Where's my notes at? It'll come back to me.
21,
yes. But I wrote something. Okay.
Pastor, because it feels comfortable. Because it feels comfortable sometimes. It feels comfortable to us to get close to the enemy. It's like, you know, it feels comfortable. It's lax. Like it's a part of the in crowd.
Mm-hmm.
We don't have to. It's like, okay, I don't want to feel out of place.
Mm-hmm.
I want to fit in like that. So sometimes we do that because we don't want to feel out of place. We don't want to stand apart from everybody. That's sometimes why we do that.
There you go. And so here we go. Let me share what God gave me because I wrote it down. And you know, they're in military battle. They're in physical warfare. We're in spiritual warfare. And Joab had the servant explain it to David like that because it was a strategic failure to get that close to the enemy. It's a military strategy failure that you go you're right up close to your enemy. Amen?
Mm-hmm. You're looking to die.
You're looking to die. And so when we play around with spiritual warfare and we get close to the enemy and we just try and skate the line and see how close we can get, it defies military strategy. It made absolutely no sense for them to be that close to the enemy, and it makes absolutely no sense for us to be that close to the enemy. And he had to explain that, and he said at the end, tell him that, because David's getting ready to go off. Because David knows that's a military blunder. Clarence, you know this as a military man and any other military men or women on the call. It's a strategic blunder to get that close to the enemy. But then at the end he tells him, and Uriah's dead. And he goes, okay. He wants to be upset about something that he caused. And the sister he said, all these other men died because of David's sin. He had to go and create a purposeful military strategic blunder to kill Uriah.
It's also funny how Joe knew exactly what David was going to say.
Yeah.
So he told the servant, when David say this, tell him, hey, guess what? Uriah died. So no matter what happened... Well, no matter what happens, at least your job is done. You know, so it's like
that's cold.
It's cold.
Oh man,
I think he was kind of saying that David was caused all that. You know, just in case you get upset, you caused all this.
Exactly. Yeah, exactly. Just in case you get mad, you wanna die, so that should be good for you.
Yeah, strategic blunder. Anything else?
Pastor Carter?
Yes, Sister Bonnie, go ahead.
I want to share what I learned from this downfall in the life of King David.
Mm-hmm.
I wrote number one, when you have time to spare and you have nothing better to do, sin can come knocking at your door. And number two, immediately God gives us a way of escape. If we read Corinthians 10:13, it says, no temptation has overtaken you except what is common to mankind. And God is faithful. He will not let you be tempted beyond what you can bear. But when you are tempted, He will also provide a way out to you so that you can endure it. We need to make the right choice. God will not do it for us. The decision is ours to make. Number three, if we continue to pursue sin and freely choose to indulge in its temporary pleasures, it can cause a spiritual callus to grow, and it can be extremely harmful to you and those around you, including future generations to come.
Amen. Amen. Those are great. I'm so glad that we're recording the audio on this. So we're going to throw it up on the website. This is powerful stuff that we can grow from. But look at verse 27. When David married Bathsheba, I wondered, I just wrote down, does she suspect that David has something to do with Uriah's death? Do you think she said, oh, this is all just coincidental that I sleep with David, Uriah comes home, then he goes back and dies. Now David marries me. Does she say, this looks like a fish story to me? I mean, women, you have intuition. She had to say, but then she's married to the king now. But I know in the back of her mind, she's like, I just thought that was just a thought that I threw out there. That
I would think, like, no matter what she thinks, though, she knows that her opinion doesn't matter.
Right, right.
So whether he did it, whatever, he's still the king, and there's nothing she could do about it. So she might as well keep her mouth shut. So she's just maybe in the palace.
But you know something? She knew. I believe she knew. But like you said, it's that she had a choice. She had a choice to go along with it, and she could not have gone along with it. But she chose to go along with it. She went along with the program because of the pleasures that went along with the program. See?
Okay.
I don't think she knows.
That's an interesting point. I just threw out there food for thought.
I think whether she was all in initially or not.
No, I'm not saying she was all in. I'm just saying in the back of her mind that she thought that, man, something's not right with this. But
after a certain time, it didn't matter because she stayed with
me. Okay.
Pastor Carter?
Sister Bonnie?
Yeah, I agree with you. I believe that maybe she did have a say-so. Sheba, and I was thinking about that too, like if more females, because it takes two people for something to happen, if more females had a little more respect, and I'm not blaming the females, but I think that it would be good for women to be smarter when it comes to dating. Like if the person wants to talk to you, see you, that's fine, but if they want to hold your hand, you say, you're not my husband. You know, because I mean, I actually did that when I was young. So the only man that I was really involved with was my husband. And, you know, because of sin as well, you know, I lost my marriage and my ex-husband just continued to pursue other women. But if I hurt, because I said, if those women would not take or sleep with a man that unless they're married to them, it would help us women that are faithful to them so that they won't fall into this temptation too.
That's a great point.
That's a great point now, but I still go back.
Different culture. Okay.
When you look at the time of the culture, we can say the same thing of how many black slave women were killed,
right,
molested, whatever, at the time. And your master said, do, lock, lay, drop, whatever. They needed to survive, and if they didn't, and as a woman, at that time, we don't know what she did. Yeah, I'm saying at the end of the day, someone just said, oh, but she ended up staying with her. Where was she going? This was King David.
Right.
Where was she going to go?
She couldn't go back to her father's house.
He had already took her. You know, she went, she did what I still say. I look at all those people that were involved. Now you've killed innocent men. And like one of the brothers said, oh, well, but, you know, we got Uriah. You know, that was a sign of, to me, and I feel passionate about it because, we don't want anybody looking at our husband, and I mean, but back in the day, you didn't have a time. You didn't have a choice. That was not a choice that you could walk away from. She still had to live in that city. She still had to go to the market or whatever, and this man, the king, had called for her, and he went through strategically and pulled out all those men who would take the note. You know, you have him, like he said, somebody said, Gomer Pyle. No, he's not going to look at that note. And then not only that, those that carried it out. They all had a part in this.
Wow.
But you know something? I understand it, but like nowadays in this day and time, women, this is a different day and time. That's back then, and I understand that. But now in this day and time, I think women need to have women. How can I say this? And no offense to none of the women that's on the line, is that women nowadays just mess with anybody's husband, anybody's boyfriend. They don't have respect for the household or anything. It's like anything goes. And
I hate it if you generalize that because that means. You should say some women.
Right.
Some women. Let me back up. Okay, thank you for correcting me. So thank you for correcting me. Some women. Okay, thank you for correcting me because I didn't mean to hit anybody where it hurts because that's not my intention. I'm not like that. Some women will mess around with married men, men that live with somebody, men that are dating somebody. They don't have respect for a household. They don't have respect for married men. Women of today just don't have that respect, you know, at all. They don't care.
On that note, Pastor, I just want to share something.
I want to share too.
Okay.
Y'all ain't going to let me finish, huh?
No, we're not going to let you finish. Go ahead, Brother Clarence.
I don't think it has an issue to do with time or gender. With
talk
me.
To me.
Bathsheba, I'm sure she wasn't too far from a knife. If anybody killed my spouse, they might be going down too.
Hey, I think, hey, Whether you're a woman or a man, you always have the choice to do what's right. The people were willing to go to the lion's den to disobey the king. You're afraid of the ramifications and say you have no choice, but you always have a choice.
Yeah, she could have did something to David down the road, man. I mean, she had another son from him.
But right. here's the other point, too.
She did. Her son leapfrogged all the other sons to be in place for the kingship.
But here's the other point, too, that we can't forget, that sin doesn't discriminate. So whether it's Bathsheba or whoever, the women today, it's not the women. We're in spiritual warfare. It's sin.
Yes.
It's the, I mentioned it Sunday, it's the system of sin that oppresses us, that confuses us, that deceives us. Mm-hmm. And it's been around ever since Adam ate the apple. Then it instituted the oppressive system of sin. Has nothing to do with women. Your husband will leave you for a man because of sin. Okay? You don't even have to be a woman.
Amen.
Your wife will leave you for a woman because
of sin. Amen.
It has
nothing
to do with the gender.
So I stand to be corrected.
It's no, but
glory to God.
I'm just saying, Sister Stephanie, it's deeper than the men or the women.
That is true.
That
is true.
Of sin and the spiritual warfare that we're in. And look, because it comes home. Look where it comes home. And Bathsheba didn't have to do anything, because look at verse 27 at the end. But the thing that David had done displeased the Lord.
And I see that. Mind,
I will repay, thus says the Lord. So here we are. We got to decide if we're going to follow the culture. We're going to follow some politician. We're going to follow some radical. Or are we going to follow the Lord? Okay. And I made note that Proverbs 5:21 and Proverbs 15:3, how it says that the eyes of the Lord are everywhere, beholding the good and the evil. Okay?
That's true.
So
5:21 and what?
It's Proverbs 5:21 and Proverbs 15:3, it states it both times. God observes everything that we do. God saw this and said, I'm really, we were disappointed. I think somebody mentioned it earlier, how disappointed we were. See, when it gets to the point when God's disappointed, and it says we have to live our life based on what's displeasing to God in God's eyes. So make a note of that. That's one of the biggest takeaways we get, because men will tell you, oh man, he just did what he had to do. Oh, we were just, man, it's okay. Everybody's doing it. Oh, don't worry. You ain't hurt nobody. But it's not what, based upon what the culture, our society is telling us, is what, it's just like in the book of Judges when we went through, said everyone did what was right in their own eyes, and it was a big mess. We read a scripture in Judges that was one of the most horrible scenes inside the Bible and outside the Bible. They dismembered, cut up a woman, but it just shows how far sin will take you when you do what's right in your own eyes. And we got to decide, are we going to follow culture or are we going to follow God? And John made a good point to the extent of Bathsheba, and you had Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego went in the fire. Daniel went into the lion's den, but they were on a spiritually mature, different level with God too. If you don't have that relationship, you ain't going nowhere, but you're going to do, just like if they shut down this system today and said, hey, you got to go get a chip in your hand or your forehead, otherwise you can't go to the store. It's going to be plenty of people who went to church. Hear what I'm saying, who went to church going out, man, I got to eat. It don't bother me. They don't understand. It's levels of maturity. If you don't have a relationship with Christ, then you're going to do what the culture says do. It takes a strong, courageous man or woman of God to say, no, I'm not doing it. And
hey,
that's,
Pastor,
that's just what we need. Go ahead, Sister Hazel.
I wanted to share John chapter 3, verse 19.
Mm-hmm.
And it say, this is the verdict. Light has come into the world, but people love darkness instead of light because their deeds were evil. Everyone who does evil hate the light and will not come into the light, but fear that their deeds will be exposed. David did what he did. Because this verse described it to me. Here, David, we had in the previous chapters, before he took action against nations, he was going to God for direction.
Come on, yes.
All right.
But when it came to this, he didn't, because he loved. He didn't want to come to light. Because his, and then he took because it would expose him. It's not so much a logical thing, like you just said about sin. You had already said sin will take you where you don't want to go.
Mm-hmm. Keep you longer.
Longer than you want to stay and take your places. All of that. But it wraps it up. But God, we will see how God can, when we accept the light through his son, how that turns the whole situation around.
Amen.
And so I know we're trying to make personal application, but we can think about our own lives, how we've sinned and made wrong choices. At least I can.
Amen.
And how I stayed out there longer. Yeah. And I didn't want to hear from the Christians, because I was enjoying what I was doing.
All right.
And amen. God has already explained it. We have to accept the light. Amen. And this is just, and then as far as Bathsheba and all of this, we're looking at the story because we got the whole story. Bathsheba didn't have a book to go to.
Right.
That's right.
They didn't have a book to go to. They had Nathan, who he's going to see. But all of this, we're looking at it. Just think about when I have sinned, or when you have sinned, was I running to the Bible? No. Was I running to church? No. Was I calling Pastor Carter? No.
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 Amen.
Now that's just my testimony.
No.
Was I analyzing like I'm taking this apart? No. It felt good. It looked good. The lust of the eye, the lust of the flesh, and the pride of life. And I was gone.
Yeah.
That's that system of sin, right? It gets us every time.
Yeah, that's what you're saying. And if we look at it like that, it's good to diagnose others. But when I look back at my own life,
amen,
I know what I did, so I can see what he did.
And no way,
God in his mercy. I don't know if somebody died. I just don't know. I'll find that out in heaven. But but Satan came to steal, kill, and destroy. And so I know somebody was hurt by the decisions that I made. I may not know it now, but I'm going to be held accountable. Well, I won't be, because God said in his word that he don't, God is so good in his word about sin, and he shows that mercy toward David, because he draws us with his love. He doesn't condemn us. So.
Amen. Hey, and look.
But when you were saying that, I thought about the darkness and the light. When you're in darkness, you don't want to see light.
Because it's going to expose you. Yeah, you don't want to talk to anybody that's going to expose you, because you want to stay in that thing. But you talk about when you look back over your life, I just have to look back to yesterday.
That's what I'm talking about to my life.
Like, oh, man, I hope nobody get killed based on what I did yesterday. You know what I'm saying?
All right.
We need that Savior every day. I mean, God help us. And I love the fact that you all brought out the point that, you know, they didn't have the word. Remember, we would say this all the time. You know, remember when the children of Israel were in the wilderness, they had the fire by night and the pillar of the cloud by day, and they followed the presence of God. And we were saying, man, if we had the fire and we saw God like that, I wouldn't act up ever. Yeah, right.
Yes, you will.
And then they're telling us, man, you guys had the Bible. You saw how it started and ended. Plus, y'all had the Holy Spirit. If I had God inside of me, man, I never would have acted up. So we trying to look at them and say, y'all should have did this. They said, man, y'all know how this thing ended. Y'all, we were before Christ. Y'all came after Christ. Y'all saw what Christ did. Christ resurrected, gave you the Holy Spirit, and y'all still couldn't live right? Oh, come on, man. Miss me with all that. That's how it is. The system of sin. And we take that look, or we do something and be out of position, and we'll be just like David, trying to cover it up and not be exposed.
Yeah.
And not even caring. The callous that Sister Yvonne talked about, that callous, and the people that were that's loyal to us, man, God help us. All right, it is 7:30. We'll do some quick last minute thoughts, then we'll pray and get out of here. But I want us to, you know, read verses 14 through 27 again for next week, and also read chapter 12. So we'll do just like we did tonight. We'll just review 14 through 27, just some, because God, it's so much. I don't want to rush through this because it's just so much in there. I'm not going to rush through this. So we'll read 14 through 27. We'll recap that again. And then we'll jump into chapter 12 and we'll start going through that. Amen.
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 Any final thoughts, any final takeaways? This has been so rich, so enlightening. Yes, somebody, Brother Clarence. I see your will. I've known you long enough, Clarence, to see your wheels turning.
They're always turning, even in my sleep. You know.
Your takeaway, Big C?
I look at everybody involved in this whole situation, and you know, like Sister Kathy said, you know, they all each made their own personal decisions on what they had to face at that specific time. And I just, for it to carry on as long as it did when one of them mm-hmm. could have done something different, either wow. Uriah, Bathsheba, or David, I think, you know, in a court of law, right? You know, you have accomplices, each one of them are just as guilty in my eyes. And for it to carry on, like I said, as long as it did, after Bathsheba knew that her husband was murdered by this king, yeah, he's anointed and everything. He's God's anointed. But at that specific time, I don't know where his anointing was, because he was just as bad as Satan, you know, carrying on with his sin. And Bathsheba should have, you know, acknowledged that and did something about it. That's just my own personal view. Regardless of the time and culture and all that, it still stands today. If I'm coming home and somebody killed my wife, you better look out.
Sister Brandy. Amen, Big C.
Thank you, Brother Clarence. I was going to say, number one, we all have a choice to make, stay in position. And sin has consequences. Your choices of your sin can affect other people.
Amen. Amen. Brother Cliff.
It's a subject that we're talking about now is more or less you have a situation or a circumstance. 100 years ago, Sister Mabel would sleep with Mister so she could work in the house rather than in the field. Now, progress has brought us to a point now where the choices are different, the situations are different, and the circumstances are different. They haven't changed much because right now I was reading today where a dear lady kept her shop open in order to feed her family, and they arrested her and put her in jail. And the point I was making is that, okay, now on Friday, the shops are going to be able to open. But she went to jail because she was trying to feed her family and her employees. So those circumstances and situations, thank God we are where we are now, but we're on our way back and we need to recognize.
Amen. Amen. It says, can someone repeat Sister Hazel's point of conceiving, conception, birth, and death as it relates to sin? That was in James. Sister Hazel, can you... just touch on that one more. Read that from James. Was it 1:13? Someone
13 through 15.
Yeah, someone in the chat wanted to hear that again. Oh, Sister Hazel left. Okay, all right. Sister Hazel's left the building. All right. That's in James 1.
Pastor, I have that.
Go ahead.
Pastor, I have that birth here and all. That Sister Hazel was talking about. I can read it for you right quick.
Go ahead, brother.
James 1:12. Blessed is the man that endureth temptation, for when he is tried, he shall receive the crown of life, which the Lord has promised to them that love him. Let no man say when he is tempted, I am tempted of God. For God cannot be tempted with evil, neither tempted he any man. I was wondering about that when she brought up James, but I had touched on James 1:12, beginning of the chapter and all, but I wasn't sure that that was what she was talking about. But after you brought it up, I have it here, and I wanted to thank you for letting me expound on it and everything, Pastor.
Thank you, Brother Joseph. Yeah, so it's not like, you know, the Flip Wilson, we used to watch the Flip Wilson show when we were little, and he'd say, the devil made me do it. And James, the scripture in James lets you know, it was your own lust. You got drawn away by your own lust. And when that thing happens, it leads to death. And Brother John states all the time, the wages of sin is death. You have to work for it. And we see right here, David was working on that sin, and it led to death for a lot of people. And we know that was a physical death, but spiritually, those outside of Christ, they're just working their way to death, which is eternal separation from Christ. And but the gift of God, the scripture goes on to say, but the gift of God is eternal life through our Lord Jesus Christ. So God gives us a gift, which is eternal life. But we get drawn away, and we really have to be mindful of the accountability that comes with that, so we don't get drawn away. All right, we are over time, so I'm getting ready to pray us out. Any last thoughts? And then I'm going to mute us, pray us, and then dismiss us. And then we'll pick up next week.
My last thought would be, no matter what's going on, whether it's big or bad, include God in it.
Amen. Amen.
Amen.
If you would
make wise choices.
Make wise choices. Amen. Amen. If you would bow your heads. Lord, we do thank you and we bless you. And wow, God, thank you for just the insight to record the Bible studies, just because such great dialogue and insights and revelation, God. And we're praying, I believe, God, that this is going to lead to a transformed life. We will not be the same after this lesson. When we see something or something comes our way, we will be mindful that it leads to death. It leads to wages. It leads to work. It affects not just us, but so many others, Lord. And we'll be mindful to operate in the fruit of the Spirit, God. And one of them is self-control. So God, you've given us the Holy Spirit, and within the Holy Spirit is self-control. So we don't have to act upon what we see or what someone does or what someone says, God. We have control, and we can love, be long-suffering, God. We don't have to get caught up with the Bathshebas of our life, God, that want to lead us somewhere just because of what we've seen, God, lead us somewhere we have no place going. God, let us be mindful of the spiritual warfare, the system of sin that we're in that's oppressive, that leads to depression, that leads to sin, leads to death, God. Let us be mindful that we are in a spiritual warfare, and let us not commit those military blunders, just stupid stuff that knowing is going to get us hurt, killed, and separated from God. So we're praying for your wisdom, your Holy Spirit, to lead and guide us, God. We need you. Praying for our world again, Lord, in the name of Jesus, praying. Help us, God. We need help. We need divine intervention. Don't let us be in the midst of a pause and then just go back to business as usual and start thinking like we used to think and acting like we used to act, God. Let us be sober and vigilant, because our adversary, the devil, walks around as a roaring lion seeking whom he may devour. Let us be alert and sober and vigilant to work for you and to live for you. We need you, Lord. We love you and we bless you. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. The house of God.